D20 Radio, where gamers roll.
www.d20radio.com.
Broadcasting from Sunny Shore City, you're listening to The Underground Radio, bringing you all the very best Pokemon news and views this side of Twist Mountain. I'm Darren.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Sam. For today's broadcast, we'll be catching up on Pokemon news, continuing with our special Mega Evolution series, and spotlighting a ghost type from Hoenn. So sit back, relax, and give your Radio Rotom what it wants. Well, this is episode number 80, Mega Evolve Part 2, which is going to be all about Mega Evolution in the trading card game. But first off, it's great to have both Darren and Josh back again for this one.
I'm back.
I'm happy to be here.
And I guess we'll go over really what we've been doing in our week in Pokemon since we were last on, which was a big three-part update from us here at this editing room.
I really liked that big update. It made my trip down to Lisbon and back very not terrible.
And I do know how terrible the trip to Lisbon can be.
I've never been to Lisbon. I'm a little sad now.
Well, you're not missing too much. Don't worry.
But the hometown of Sam and Darren and Nateel, right?
Well, she did go to high school there, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll count it.
Yeah.
Well, other than going to our hometown, which has nothing to do with Pokemon, I did some Pokemon stuff this week.
What?
Right? I bred up some Pokemon for myself and trained them up. Like Gyarados, Dragonite, and Kangaskhan. They're both pretty sweet. Actually, I didn't breed those three specifically. Ben bred those in exchange for the team that I trained him last week. So God. I trained. Right. Like, so he'll breed, but he won't train.
Yeah.
So he bred me these three perfect Pokemon, so I and a couple others that were just extras from his breeding escapades. But I trained these ones up. So they're pretty cool. I really like my Dragonite. I had to get him to 81 because he's going to be a rain supporter. Or not a supporter, but a rain special attacker.
So you needed that
Hurricane.
Hurricane off of him, yep.
Yes. And then other than that, I began my hunt for Zapdos. Took me roughly 3 hours just to track him down. I did all the tricks you could, and he just refused to come to any of the routes next to me. I was getting really frustrated.
Yeah, he's obnoxious.
Finally, I did get him to stop after. It only took like 9 times, so I must have seen him a couple times before. But finally got him tracked down, and now I am soft resetting. So that's fun.
Sometimes.
Well, subjective fun, I guess.
Yes.
I could be stuck in a bear trap. That would be less fun.
Potentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
One cool thing, while I was EV training my Dragonite, I was doing a little bit of speed, and I saw a shiny Wingull in one of my hordes.
Nice.
Yes. So I caught myself a Wingull with green wing stripes.
That was a good day.
Yeah, I was pretty happy about it. I was at League 2, and there was like 30 minutes left in League, and I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody, shiny Wingull.
It's nice to do it in a public place.
Oh, I know.
Be able to show off to everybody immediately.
And then, man, yeah, I was very happy about that. And I decided also that I should make a singles team since everyone still plays singles at all times at League. So I was looking for Light Clay, and now I have three of them.
Okay.
Good.
So I put Thief on my Compound Eyes Galvantula and just went to town on some Gollets. So yeah, that was my week in Pokemon.
It sounds like a good week.
It does sound like a really good week.
Well, for myself, I have been breeding like a maniac. Shut it, Darren. Just this past week, I've finished breeding and training two teams that are going to Nationals because a couple of my league members, Jeremy and Sarah, either haven't had the time or for Sarah, she's still pretty new to the game. So I'm just, you know, using my experience to help out. And that's been good. It's been keeping me busy, that's for sure. I had to reorganize my apartment to, you know, update for my future additions here. Mm-hmm. And I had to move all of my Pokemon stuff out of the office because the office will now be the nursery.
Okay.
But I actually like the way it turned out. So there's kind of a little shrine area to my Pokemon. So eventually, once, you know, this podcast, this episode is, you know, added, I'll take some pictures. Because if I did it now, everybody'd be like, okay, that's weird. But yes, yeah. I'll take pictures of it after everybody hears that I'm going to be taking pictures of it. And then, you know, we had league this week. I didn't attend the Thursday league. I left that one to my leaders. And at the Saturday league, I just bred the entire time because I needed a stupid Lucario. And Riolu sucks to breed.
Oh, man, I bet.
It just is so obnoxious. Why is Riolu a baby Pokemon?
That is annoying.
He doesn't look like any of the other babies. He doesn't look like a baby. And he's only a, you know, two-stage Pokemon. The others are all three-stage, so I don't get it. But, yeah, Riolu's obnoxious, so he took me forever. And I had the opportunity, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this podcast that I listen to, but The Underground, I had the opportunity to listen to three episodes, and that was awesome. And yes, that's pretty much my week in Pokemon.
Good deal.
Sam, did you have anything go on this week in Pokemon?
Well, I traded a league member a hidden ability Pansage that I caught for him kind of at the 11th hour of Pokemon League, and I received a Skrelp with two egg moves in return, so that was pretty cool.
What is the hidden ability on
Overgrow?
The Pans? Okay, okay.
Yeah, he was going to be using it and the two other hidden ability ones, Panseer and Panpour, to give out as prizes for a little thing that he was going to do, so I helped him out with that. One of the other people at League who does have a Panseer or a Pansage, Friend Safari, has not yet beat the Elite Four, and so the hidden ability one was just not available.
Yeah.
So that was that. I also sorted out all of my trainer and energy cards for my collection here, and I still need to go after all of the Pokemon, and that is going to be a very time-consuming process because it is several boxes, like Elite Trainer box-sized boxes full of Pokemon cards.
Jeez.
So that's going to be fun. I also traded Darren for a Full Art Yveltal EX, which
yes,
was a very beautiful card.
Yeah, it's a pretty card, but I think Sam will likely appreciate it more than just sitting in my binder all by his lonesome.
Yep, and I traded a... Let's see, what did I trade for it? It was a Kangaskhan, right?
Yeah, I think that's what I got the Kangaskhan for.
Yeah, I traded away a full art Kangaskhan because I was not going to use it. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was that. And speaking of Darren, we both built a deck for a young girl who was interested in Pokemon who came to my league. And I also gave her some sleeves, some poison and burn counters, damage counters, a coin, and a tin to carry all of her stuff with her. So
yeah, she scored.
Yes, yeah, she did.
I would say so.
She picked an incredible time to come to Pokemon League. And I happened to know her dad in a casual way as well, so it was also kind of cool. I contacted him over Facebook and told him that if he ever wants to come back, she can earn more prizes and get more stuff for her to do more Pokemoning with, so hopefully she'll swing by again. And last thing I really did was picked up my Alakazite and Banettite, which I had not done yet, because that 8 to 9 o'clock time limit kind of was, I don't know, I guess the appropriate word would be not conducive to my schedule for a little while. It was just, well, you know, from 8 to 9 I could be sitting in my apartment and doing that, or I could be enjoying a little sunlight right now while I still have the chance to enjoy it, so... That was that.
Who needs sun? You anti-vampire, jeez.
I know,
what's
right?
Wrong with
you? But yeah, I got those, and just really the last Megastone in Pokemon X that I need would be the Mewtwo Knight X, but I have no real strong sense of urgency to go after it. So.
What? Physical attacking Mewtwo? Come on, Sam.
You know, I'm actually not against the idea of a physical attacking Mewtwo, but at the same time, it's the whole soft resetting thing that I just have to be in the appropriate mood for.
I understand.
Yeah, because if you're not in the mood to soft reset, it turns into a task that will make you just hate everything.
Yes, want to remove your eyes from your face.
Yep.
Why do I even play this game?
Pretty much, yeah. So that's been my week, and sounds like it was a pretty interesting time for everybody here. A lot of exciting stuff, especially the shiny Wingull. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And now it's time to stop off at the news desk, where we do have a few underground announcements to start with. The first being that voting has now begun for our double teams and double draw segments. You can vote for your choices on the Facebook group, on the D20 Radio forums, or by tweeting a vote to @RadioRotom. Remember, only one vote for a Pokemon and a card each. And this week, the voting will be for Mega Venusaur EX from X and Y, Milotic from Flashfire, the Plasma Badge from Plasma Freeze, and for the video game, we have Politoed, Scizor, and Toxicroak, which is kind of actually funny because I ran a rain team with all three of those Pokemon on it at one point.
The last time I checked, for those of you who were interested, the Plasma Badge was in the lead for the trading card, and the Politoed was in the lead for the Pokemon video game. So if you have any aspirations to unthrone some of those who are in the lead, and they have a rather commanding lead right now, be sure to submit your votes so that they can count.
Well, as podcast supporters like us, you know, being on the show, our vote counts for, like, what, four?
I think our vote should count for 1.5.
I like that. Well, 1.5 better win it.
Yeah.
I voted Politoed, so everyone else should vote Politoed. Hey, stop it. I disagree with you, sir.
I disagree with me as well.
Also, an underground announcement, Josh will be headed to Nationals to work for the event staff there. So for those of you who are listening, and just wish him safe travels and a fantastic time.
It will be a fantastic time no matter what. I am stoked.
Yes.
Nice.
All right. And for our regular news, we have 3 bullet points here that we wanted to go over, the first of which was that the next new set for the trading card game, called, tentatively called anyway, Phantom Gate, will be dropping in Japan in September. Some art for the set has been unveiled, though it is not the final artwork. They even put a little sticker over the artwork that said dummy.
Yes. But did you see which Pokemon that artwork was of?
Yes, I did.
I am super excited. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
The I think the psychic decks are going to see a nice foil for the fighting decks, which will see a nice foil for the dark decks, which will see a nice foil for the psychic decks. So I'm thinking that we're going to see some really cool stuff coming out with the next TCG set.
Couldn't agree more. Things are starting to balance out again. It'll be nice.
Oh, yeah. So, Darren, there was talk of a new online competition.
That's what I'm hearing. There is something called the Battle of Legends competition coming up soon. It'll be a double battle. All Pokemon can be used except Diancie, including transporter Pokemon, so you can use your old stuff. So that's good. Only two of any legendary mythical Pokemon on a team, so can't just have a whole team of legendaries, which is smart. I think 2 is a good number.
Every single team is going to be Mega Mewtwo. Every single team.
Yeah.
It's called Battle of Legends competition, also known as the Mega Mewtwo.
And Mega Genesect. I mean, regular Genesect. I wish there was a Mega Genesect.
It'll be Mega Mewtwo paired with Choice Scarf, Darkrai. Just Dark Voiding everything.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea. You should do this Battle of Legends competition.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I didn't... what's the word? Not Gen. RNG for any of those legendaries back in the day. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Not for me.
Yeah.
Well, some other things about this competition. All Pokemon will have their level raised to 100. You can only do 10 battles per day. And if you are interested, which I hope you are, some of you listeners, registration begins July 17th through the 24th, and the competition will begin the next day on the 25th through the 27th.
That 10 battles per day is interesting. Have they ever limited a tournament like that before?
They have been limiting the X and Y tournaments as far as I know. You had a limit of how many battles you could hit per day.
Interesting.
So, yeah, and I think it's just to help kind of maintain server traffic there. And
yeah.
Because I'm sure that gets to be quite taxing, and it also prevents people from just going and just spamming their battles and getting a higher rating as a result.
I suppose.
Yep.
And for our last bit of news for the week, a new template for use in Pokemon Art Academy has been released in the form of Kyogre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I am still so incredibly excited for Pokemon Art Academy. It's not even funny.
That's because Pokemon Art Academy is awesome.
Yeah.
I honestly haven't been more excited for a side game than for Art Academy in a long time. I think the last time I was super excited for a side game was maybe the TCG game wave like 10 like 15
oh,
years geez. ago. Like, I don't play many Pokemon side games. I saw some Trozei and that looked neat, but
it's just a goofy little thing. I think Art Academy is going to be much more intense.
It looks fun.
if we're talking strictly handhelds, Conquest is still one of my favorites.
I have to agree with you, Sam. I was going to say that, but I didn't want to talk bad about Darren. But yes, Conquest.
Yeah.
Well, I've never experienced it, so I guess I just don't know the greatness that is Conquest.
It is pretty awesome. But yeah, that's news, and then we will be moving on to the main topic. This week's main topic is a continuation of our Mega Evolve series that we decided we would talk about after we had a little inspiration from the internet about this. And this one is, for those of you who have been following along with the idea anyway, really the crux of what I wanted to talk about. There's been a lot of talk about the Mega Evolutions, and the Mega Evolutions in the video game, there are some that are unloved, there are some that are loved, and there are some that are everybody's favorites. And the Mega Evolution lore that we talked about in the previous episode is also something that really speaks to a lot of people, and it really causes a lot of people to really appreciate the idea more. But when it comes to the trading card game, there is a substantial, I would argue, lack of interest in the new mechanic that was introduced into the trading card game in the form of Mega Evolution. And today's main topic is all about the Mega Evolution Pokemon cards in the Pokemon trading card game. For those of you who are interested in knowing how the Mega Evolution mechanic works, you have a Pokemon that is the basic Pokemon EX of the Mega Evolution, whether it be the Kangaskhan EX or the Charizard EX, and then you have a Mega Pokemon EX, whether it be Mega Kangaskhan EX, Mega Charizard EX, and you evolve that Pokemon as if you were evolving any other regular Pokemon. And you can search for these cards through Evosoda or through any attacks or abilities or effects that allow you to evolve a Pokemon. It's just that when you evolve that Pokemon, your turn immediately ends.
It's kind of crucial to remember that what you said about they evolve from Pokemon EX, not from their Stage 2 equivalent Pokemon. So, like, yeah.
I remember when they first came out, people were thinking, so do we have to evolve a Pokemon all the way from, like, Charmander all the way up to Charizard EX? And it's like, nope, you don't have to. They're going to create their own EXs for each one of these Pokemon, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Megas would never be used if that were the case.
It's true.
Mega Blastoise is better than Deluge? Like, no, you can have both of them.
Yes.
another bullet point about our main topic, Mega Evolution, is that Pokemon EX in X and Y are less dynamic, notably so, than their Black and White era counterparts.
And you know, that's kind of a critical factor for right now, because we're in the middle of a rotation period, and for right now, there is no good reason at all to run Mega Pokemon in decks when you can just as easily run decks with Pokemon that are far more dynamic and far more able to handle bigger threats than the EX Pokemon are without having to end your turn right away. You've got the standard Virizion Genesect decks, the Rayboar decks, the Black Kyurem EX decks. I mean, you have all these decks that do a tremendous amount of damage, and you don't have to worry about really reconfiguring your entire deck or building a new one from scratch just to entertain these ideas of the Mega Pokemon, at least right now.
Yeah. Yeah, the one I think of the most is just anything with Keldeo in it.
Yep.
Just Keldeo does everything.
Keldeo does everything. And in a especially with some with one of the cards that we'll be talking about a little earlier here, the Russian and retreat strategy just works out so beautifully and so powerfully. There's no, you know, it's the abilities and the status conditions have gotten so dynamic and it's so ever-changing that it's just become this ridiculously fast-paced game where you're always having to, where mobility is really the biggest thing in the Pokemon games. It's being able to be mobile and being able to strike really, really hard. And that's what Black and White was really, I would argue, famous for. Whether you're using the Darkrai with Dark Cloak or you're Russian retreating, using the Stadium Sky Arrow Bridge to reduce your retreat costs by one, and also the sheer amount of energy or lack of it that you need to do tremendous amounts of damage. I mean, that's really what Black and White exemplified, I think.
Yeah, it was all about hitting hard and hitting fast.
Yep. Yes. And
but it felt like TPCI was doing that on purpose, especially when they changed, you know, their tournament structure, so rounds are super quick and ties are dumb and ugh. So everyone wants to play as fast as possible.
Yep.
It's annoying. Yeah.
And that makes sense. I mean, they've done the same thing with the video game over the years. They've had to shorten the time just because I'm sure the big tournaments take forever and a day.
Yep. And, you know, the Black and White card, or the X and Y cards now, we've been seeing a lot less dynamic of them. I mean, the cards have really slowed down. And you can tell it in just a marked difference, even between Legendary Treasures and X and Y base set. Even the biggest ones that I would argue are the fastest possible cards that do the most amount of damage, and I'm talking Yveltal EX and Xerneas CX, still require time to build up. I mean, Yveltal EX is probably the fastest and hits the hardest, but you still need one darkness and one colorless to be able to use his attack, as opposed to Mewtwo EX, who only needed a single double colorless energy and could start just blasting the other Pokemon for a minimum of 60, for all minimum of 40 damage anyway.
And another thing to note about Yveltal is he's going to get slower after rotation, because Dark Patch is going bye-bye.
Yep. Still, though, you know, these mega Pokemon, and, you know, the Pokemon Company has made these mega Pokemon to be the EX Pokemon of the Black and White era, because their previous evolutions, the Pokemon EX, the basic forms anyway, just do not do as much damage, and they do not do the kind of just sheer destructive power that their mega evolutions do. And it really makes it so that you have to sacrifice a turn or just have really, really good strategic knowledge of the Pokemon game to be able to use these guys. And it offers one an ability to rapidly, very, very rapidly turn the tide of a battle in a heartbeat, which is what a lot of these Mega Pokemon, even in the video game, do. I mean, as soon as one Mega evolves, it could be the opportunity that you need to completely shift the balance of power in a game to your favor. So, for the next, I guess, part of our segment here, we're going to talk a little bit about the Pokemon EX and their subsequent Mega Evolutions, and kind of cover a little bit of the strategy behind them and how and when to use them. The first of which is really Venusaur EX. It was the very first one of the Mega Evolutions to be introduced alongside Blastoise EX, and the Venusaur EX has a couple of really interesting attacks. The first of which is Poison Powder, where for one grass and two colorless, you can do 60 damage and the defending Pokemon is now poisoned. And with Jungle Hammer, you have the ability to do 90 damage and heal 30 damage from this Pokemon for two grass and two colorless. It has 180 HP and 4 retreat cost with a fire weakness. Now, the Mega Venusaur that it evolves into has a single attack, as is the norm with all of the Mega Evolutions. The Pokemon has the attack Crisis Vine, where for 3 grass and 1 colorless, you do 120 damage, and the defending Pokemon is now poisoned and paralyzed.
Ooh.
Yep. Which is just mean.
It is. The Mega Venusaur has 230 HP, so an increase of 40, 4 retreat cost, and a fire weakness. Some possible partner Pokemon that seem to work out pretty well with him are Shiftry from Flash Fire and the Flower Veil Floette, which offers 20 more HP to all grass-type Pokemon.
Having any Pokemon sitting at 250 HP does sound fairly wonderful.
And, you know, I actually built a deck with the Mega Venusaur and the Flower Veil Floette, and getting a Mega Venusaur up to 290 hit points is very, very terrifying for an opponent to try and deal with.
It adds 20 per Floette?
20 yeah. per Floette.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
The effects, it's pretty nasty. The effect stacks in a very similar way to how the Plasma Umbreon's ability stacked, giving 20 more HP to all of the Plasma Pokemon you had.
It's pretty crazy. And then
stupid Venusaur.
And then he's got Shiftry in there for Leaf Draw. It's a pretty awesome deck.
Yeah, wow. And you know, it's just the grass synergy works out so very, very well with it. And, you know, we've already talked about the couple of Pokemon that I run in a deck of mine, and, you know, it's kind of a in-process deck at this point. But, you know, for Mega Venusaur, the high energy costs for both attacking and retreating do seem like a terrible drawback for Venusaur, and that's what a lot of these Pokemon require, is just a lot of energy, and they do not retreat, for the most part, very cheaply. But this Pokemon in particular has the ability to either greatly relax or even neutralize a lot of its energy costs by using double colorless energy, whether you intend for it to stay a Venusaur EX or Mega Evolve it. It can turn the one grass and two colorless or two grass and two colorless requirements into two or three cards that you would need to make the attacks work. Or you could use Rainbow Energy, Fairy Energy, and Fairy Garden to either work as either grass or fairy energy in the form of the rainbow energy, or they could also synergize really well with the fairy garden to make the retreat cost go to zero. And so you've got that going for you with that, if you can get set up right. And I've been playing around with the idea, and it still takes a little bit of balancing to work, but you know, it is how it is. And the most attractive part of him is the dual poison and paralysis that you can inflict upon someone, where even if they're not weak to it, if they don't have a switch card, it is a guaranteed two-hit KO on any Stage 2 or any EX Pokemon, and in most cases, the Stage 2s in particular will knock themselves out by the end of your opponent's turn, so they have to send out a new Pokemon who will just get Crisis Vined again.
Yeah, that poison damage stacking after your turn and then after their turn, yeah, most Stage 2s can't handle that.
Nope. And even with EXs and Mega EXs, just the ability to keep that constant damage and paralysis going can turn pretty much any game into a two-hit knockout string if you have no way to block Mega Venusaur's chain.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I still think that Mega Venusaur is one of the best bang for your buck Mega EXs in the game right now. But I'm sure Darren has I'm sure Darren could have words with me about that, which we'll probably get into a little later on here.
Words will happen a yes. few Pokemon down the list.
Well, next on our list, there won't be words during this one, as far as I know, is Blastoise EX. And the standard Blastoise EX has Rapid Spin for 2 colorless energy. He does 30 damage, and he is able to switch with one of your benched Pokemon.
Oh, no, you and, have to.
Well, yes, he does. If you have a benched Pokemon, he switches it. And then your opponent switches their active with their bench.
Yep.
So it works kind of like, what's that, escape rope?
Yep, kind of like escape rope.
Yeah. And then his second attack is the Splash Bomb, which he does need 3 water energy to use. And he does 120 damage. You flip a coin. If tails, he does 30 to himself. So throw that protection cube on him and, you know, laugh as you flip tails all day long.
And sounds like the best deck idea yet.
You know, that no, it's not. I'm sorry.
Blastoise EX is a little underpowered. That's true.
He really is, sadly. He's sitting the same as the Venusaur EX with 180 HP. His retreat cost is 1 less, only at 3. And he is weak to the Venusaur, so that's not good for him. He does have that grass weakness.
Yep.
And there are quite a few good grass Pokemon out there, so sorry, dude. But then he becomes Mega Blastoise. And Mega Blastoise's Hydro Bombard attack keeps the 3 water energy from the Splash Bomb, so that's good. You don't need to add any extra energy to him to be able to do anything. And his Hydro Bombard does 120 and does 30 damage to 2 of your opponent's benched Pokemon. So no chance of recoil in your face there, and an extra 60 damage. So depending on what your opponent is running, you know, the Venusaur does get the Poison and Paralysis, but you could potentially knock out 2 of their benched basic Pokemon in 2 attacks.
Yep.
So Mega Blastoise is much, much better than yep. standard Blastoise as far as I'm concerned.
Indeed.
I agree.
And go ahead, Darren.
Well, I was just going to say Mega Blastoise having 3 water for his attack isn't too bad either with the popularity of Deluge Blastoise.
Yeah, that's, you know, a single turn.
Yep.
You can easily get all of that on him. So, yes, Mega Blastoise with Deluge Blastoise, all of the Blastoise ever, that is Kent's deck. Well, and then he throws his Pidgeot in there as well, but
yeah,
that's beside the point. So, when he does Mega Evolve, he gains that extra 40 HP, bringing him up to 220. He keeps his 3 retreat costs and his grass weakness. And possible partners for him, like Darren said, definitely the Deluge Blastoise because, yes. And he also pairs well with Lapras, Greninja, and Melodic.
Yeah, Melodic's a very good choice in this deck, too, putting those basic water energies straight on him.
Nope.
Or no, it would no, Melodic has to go onto a stage 2, right?
That's right. And yeah. The nice thing about the Melodic combination in here is that there is a very strong chance in water decks that are going to include Mega Blastoise that you're going to be discarding water energy. If you're running him with Greninja, you're going to be discarding a lot of the water energy to use the Water Shuriken. And if you use the Melodic or the Lapras to be able to recover that energy back onto your Pokemon, you are essentially drawing out of your discard pile as opposed to having to need to search through your deck for more energy.
That's
yeah.
true.
And I really do like the idea of the Greninja and Blastoise, because if you have something like the Bangle. Why can't I think of the plus 20 attack item card?
The Muscle Band.
Wow, Muscle Band. Yeah, you throw the Muscle Band on Mega Blastoise. brings him up to 140. You use one Water Shuriken off of Greninja, and you're taking out most other EXs.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's legit. And, sorry. I got distracted. Just a couple notes about the Blastoise. The splash squirrel. Damage is definitely the way to go. Yes. There was a squirrel. It was, you know, chilling like a villain outside my window. Okay, not really. But, yeah, splash damage is definitely where he shines. A lot of decks out there now rely on their bench Pokemon. You've got the Aromatisse and things of that sort that just like to hang out in the background. And he's very nice to be able to hit them. You can take out the Aromatisse in just 3 turns with his attack. So it's really, really nice. And you can do it without having to rely on other means to get those Pokemon into the active position, like by using the Lissandra and the catchers.
Because it is not a fun time if you have to use Lissandra and burn your supporter for a turn to draw up just an Aromatisse to knock it out. Because the chances are someone's already got a Pokemon powered up that's just going to reply back anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, it just removes a lot of the effects, a lot of the second guessing and uncertainty, especially if you've got Greninja in there, because then you can just use 2 Water Shurikens and a single Hydro Bombard and knock out an Aromatisse anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to Flash Fire now. We've covered X and Y. In Flash Fire, we have the almighty Charizard EX. We got 2 different kinds. And then we also got a promo one, which is really bad, so we won't talk about him.
Yeah, the promo one was... Promo one was pretty awful. It's pretty much its only real calling was the Mega Ascension, and that's a waste of a attack. I mean, it just allows you to search for a EX, a Charizard EX Mega, and then I think it's even put it into your hand. I don't think you can even Mega Evolve it that same.
I think it's just in your hand.
If you could put it directly on him, that would be amazing, and we would be talking about that one first.
Yeah.
but no, it's completely worthless. but let's get into the good Charizard EXs. Both of them have 180 HP, 2 retreat, and they both have a water weakness. The first one we'll talk about is the Stoke Charizard EX. Stoke is an attack that costs 1 colorless energy, and you flip a coin, if heads, you search your deck for 3 basic energy and attach them to this Pokemon. This is a pretty sweet attack, especially if you plan on running a certain Mega Charizard X.
Yep. And then just being able to draw out 3 basic energy and attach them to a Pokemon in a single turn is fantastic.
Yep, mm-hmm. I can't disagree with you. And then his second attack is Fire Blast. 1 fire, 3 colorless, does 120 damage, and you discard an energy attached to this Pokemon. And that's pretty standard attack for a fire type. A lot of fire Pokemon discard their energy.
Yeah.
The second Charizard, which is more popular on the internet, is the Combustion Blast Charizard. But let's talk about Wing Attack first. Wing Attack is its first attack for 3 colorless. It does 60 damage. And its second attack, Combustion Blast, is 2 fire, 2 colorless. And it does a whopping 150. But the stipulation is this Pokemon can't use this attack on its next turn. So that 150 is a really magical number with just a Muscle Band. You're doing 170, knocking out other EXs. And then you can just throw a laser on there right now. Or it's just that 10 damage isn't very much. It's a lot of damage.
Yep. And you can even use the Keldeo with Rush In to rush in and then use a Float Stone to retreat it and then Combustion Blast again on the very next turn, if you so desired.
It's very strong. And with this Pokemon, you have the ability to one-shot other EXs on your first attackable turn, with just one double colorless and one blacksmith with two fire in your discard, you're hitting for potentially 170 with a muscle band on your first attacking turn. That's pretty intense.
It's pretty intense, and I've seen a lot of people admire the strategy. I think it's in the same vein as the people who have been speculating on some of the mega evolutions that will come out in the next set, though, where it's a really good idea, and it's a really powerful thing to comprehend, but you also require a lot of things working in your favor to make that happen as well. So, you know, just, but even then, you know, maybe not first attackable turn, but, you know, a couple turns in, if you've got yourself a Keldeo and a Combustion Blast Charizard, you've got the potential to do 150 to 180 damage if the stars align for you every other turn. So, yeah.
It is nice that it's possible, but you're right. It, in practice, it doesn't happen very often.
And the thing, like, Combustion Blast is great, and you guys are talking about that, and that's because that is his big attack. I can't get on board with Wing Attack.
Nope.
20 damage per energy?
Yeah, it's pretty weak.
It's a very energy inefficient attack.
It really is.
And that is just blah, just damage? That's annoying.
Yep.
Yeah.
If it had the stipulation where you had your opponent, like, switch his Pokemon or something...
there are just so many things you could do with it, but it's just not there for me.
No. And I personally give my stamp of approval to the Stoke Charizard, because it's also a full art, and the full art is gorgeous.
The full art Stoke Charizard is beautiful.
It really is.
Yep. So, I guess... Now that we've talked about the Charizard EXs, which are very powerful cards in their own right, they still have their drawbacks, which makes them restrained. I mean, if you don't flip that heads in your first turn, you're still waiting another three turns, potentially, to get your Fire Blast up. Or with Combustion Blast, if you don't have the ability to retreat him, he's kind of just sitting out there derping around while the opponent has the ability to recover and blow up the Charizard, and losing four energy in a single turn is not a fun thing to do.
Nope.
But we move on in power level to Mega Charizard Y. And this is the Mega Charizard that, like the Combustion Blast Charizard, is more popular right now, for two fire and three colorless. Five energy to use his attack.
It's so expensive.
He can do Crimson Dive, which does 300 damage, and the Pokemon takes 50 damage to itself. The Pokemon has 220 hit points, a single point of retreat cost, so its retreat cost goes down by one, and the Pokemon still retains its water weakness. This Pokemon really partners up very well with Pyroar and probably Talonflame. Talonflame being able to do 100 damage with its attack. You know, it helps weaken or soften up any hard targets that you would need to do, and it has no retreat cost, so you're not discarding more fire energy than you have to. And Pyroar being able to shield yourself from the attacks of basic Pokemon, other Pokemon EX, being able to prevent a Yveltal EX from using Evil Ball on your Mega Charizard, which has 5 energy attached to it, can save you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's an option there. And like we talked about, you really only need the one energy type to use Mega Charizard-wise attacks, and it makes it so that you can set it up with incredibly little difficulty. The ability, because it's also a fire type, you can use Blacksmith to add fire energy to it, so you could potentially Mega Evolve it on your first evolvable turn, and you'd still be good to go. I mean, there's just no drawback to it if you so desired, and if you had a pretty good shot of being able to get him set up right away. The water weakness, though, is quite a bit of an issue, just because there are a lot of water-type Pokemon right now that could easily one-shot Mega Charizard Y even before he would use Crimson Dive. And the Protection Cube is an ideal item for him just to prevent him from losing too much more HP than he absolutely has to, because after a single Crimson Dive, his total HP goes down to 170, which is the standard going rate for a lot of EXs.
Yeah, that's the bar a lot of people set so that they can take out those EXs. So yeah,
Yep.
that's not good for him.
Not good for him, but otherwise, he's a very solid Mega Pokemon.
It's like a truck.
Yes, the 300 damage is just enough to take out any Pokemon. Maybe. No, it is. It is capable of taking out any Pokemon. I was going to say maybe if you had enough Flower Veil Floettes, but there are not enough Flower Veil Floettes to prevent your grass type Pokemon from taking that much damage.
No. 600. Oof.
Mega Charizard X. He is probably a little more difficult to use due to his dragon typing. His attack is Wild Blaze, which requires two fire, one darkness, and two colorless energy, which also, like the other Charizard, does 300 damage. But you discard the top five cards of your deck, which that could be painful, depending on,
It could be.
what you're top decking. So, yeah, that could be rough, but still, that 300 damage, like they said about the other Charizard, that's unstoppable. You can't do anything to keep yourself alive when 300 damage is being done.
No. So then we have Mega Charizard X, and the Mega Charizard X is a dragon type as opposed to a fire type. It has the attack Wild Blaze, which for two fire, one darkness, and two colorless, you can do 300 damage to the defender and discard the top five cards of your deck in the process. The Mega Charizard has 230 hit points, three retreat cost, and a weakness to fairy attacks.
I think I was just going to say, I think that's great to have a different weakness in your fire deck.
And this is the Mega Charizard that I use for my deck that I built with Charizard Mega evolving in it. And I chose this one because of its nice synergy with the dark type. And,
Okay.
there are some possible partners for him. I built mine with Delphox and a Veltal, though I've been thinking about putting a Veltal EX in there as well. And the two energy types to make this mega attack, it can get a little shifty for some people to try and make work. And losing the fire type upon evolving removes the possibility of using Blacksmith to accelerate energy into your Charizard there. So once he mega evolves, you're never going to be able to use Blacksmith on him again.
Yeah.
So if you need to retreat, that can be a really shaky option. But, the darkness energy requirement really lends itself to using Shadow Circle as a stadium, along with, like I said earlier, pairings with the Veltal and Veltal EX. And when that's the case, if you have the Shadow Circle out there, it removes all of the weakness that the Pokemon with dark type energy attached to them have. So once you have that darkness energy on your Mega Charizard, all you have to do is drop down a Shadow Circle, and you've removed your fairy weakness in the process.
Very true.
And I know a lot of people have said, oh, well, the discarding of five cards when you use the attack, that's not ideal. And really, when you think about it, a lot of decks, the current wisdom with building decks now is that each and every single one of your cards are meant to be essential for your deck. I mean, you never run them without a reason for it. Unless you're running decks in North Dakota where you're running, first tickets and things of that nature. But the the discarding of 5 cards to do 300 damage, when you have your Mega Charizard out there, you're needing him to do 300 damage, and discarding 5 cards every turn, it's not that big of a deal if you're guaranteed to get 2 prizes out of the deal.
Yep.
And
as long as, like you said, as long as you're hitting EXs for KOs, is if you don't want to take 6 prizes from basic Pokemon's discarding 30 cards from your deck, that would be just unideal. So
So you want to pick and choose your battles there. If you see that a deck has a lot of basic Pokemon, like, or not basic Pokemon, but just stage 1s and stage 2s, you're not going to want a Mega Evolve. But if you see the Mega, but if you see other Mega Evolutions or other EXs popping up, he's a very nice power eraser to have.
Absolutely.
And the ability to get that many prizes that quickly, and especially combined with supporters like Lysandre, who can draw up Pokemon for you to blow up anyway, is just phenomenally powerful.
That is so true.
Mm-hmm. So, and like I said earlier too, I paired him up with Delphox, and the reasoning for that was, in a deck where you're going to potentially be discarding 5 cards each, well, that you're going to be losing a grand total of 6 cards at minimum every time out of your deck when you have your turn with Mega Charizard attacking, once for your draw stage and then 5 for your attack, you're not going to be wanting to discard a whole lot of cards just at once, like if you were going to be running a Sycamore or a Juniper. So I preferred to run the Shaunas and the Delphox with the ability that allow you to draw up to 6, so you're really extending the life of your deck as much as you possibly can.
Very true. Pal pads are good.
Yes.
And then also, Super Rods right now are a very good choice.
Super Rods are a great choice.
Anything that can really rebuild your deck a little bit if you needed it to.
Yep. You definitely want to be playing out of your discard pile if you're going to run a Mega Charizard X. And the Baby Yveltal also work out very well for that too, because their attack Oblivion Wing allows you to draw a dark energy out of your discard pile and attach it to one of your benched Pokemon. So it's just that much faster of a way for you to build up your Charizards or your other dark types if you want to.
What a great option.
What a great option.
So I think we've covered the Charizards. Certainly they are the crux of Flash Fire. They're very heavily hyped. Everyone and a lot of people I talk to do like them.
Yes.
But I'd like to move on to my favorite EX and Mega duo.
That was going to be the Mega Magikarp and the Mega Magikarp EX, right? Delta Species.
Well, not quite. I want to talk about Kangaskhan EX and his Mega, or her Mega. They're all girls.
Yeah.
Kangaskhan EX has triple draw for 1 colorless, allowing you to draw 3 cards. That in and of itself is fantastic. And then Kindred Kick is 3 colorless, and it does 70 damage. You flip a coin. If heads, this attack does 30 more damage. So right away, both those attacks are great for an EX.
Oh, yeah.
She has 180 HP, 3 retreat, and a weakness to fighting. So that's going to be a little painful when the next set drops, because I'm sure someone will make the fighting decks around here.
You know, that might be, but just like, kind of like we said earlier, these basic EXs are just so very versatile that, you know, Kangaskhan EX, just for 1 energy, you can triple draw. That's a free Charon in your turn, along with playing another supporter.
Yes, I love triple draw. When I get an opening hand with Kangaskhan EX in it, and I don't have Xerneas, baby Xerneas in my hand too. I will play Kangaskhan EX down into my lead position just to triple draw, because it's such a good, you know, early game attack.
Yes, it is.
And then Kangaskhan EX's Mega Evolution, Mega Kangaskhan EX, unbelievable. Wham Bam Punch for 3 colorless does 100 damage plus. And you flip coins until you get tails. This attack does 30 damage for each heads. It's an open-ended attack that can do a serious amount of damage. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. I mean, I know this deck gets really flippy, but it lends to just the funness.
Well, flippy decks can be fun. I mean, if we're talking about just straight flip decks, I mean, what is the Pokemon again? The Chinchino decks. Oh. I mean, are always fun.
Yeah, for the person running it.
Unless you're having two Chinchino decks fighting against each other, it's just masochistic.
That sounds horrible. I want to see this.
It's horrible. It really is. There is nothing that will make you hate life more than having to fight a Chinchino deck with your own Chinchino deck.
Oh, gosh. I have to say, I love that Mega Kangaskhan is a colorless Pokemon. Being able to really go in any deck if you really wanted him to be in there, and having his attack still be just 3 colorless is great.
Indeed.
Some more stats on the Mega Kangaskhan. She has 230 HP, 3 retreat, and again the fighting weakness. And some possible partners include Baby Xerneas for energy acceleration, Xerneas EX for putting damage on benched Pokemon so that you can get your flip KOs more easily, Aromatis for moving energy around and using Max Potion, and Greninja is also a good idea to get that bench damage down. And finally, one of my favorite combos, the Victory Star Fliptini.
Okay.
Fliptini is so good in this deck. I love being able to reflip when I don't get my first heads.
That is awesome.
Kangaskhan EX is just great. Like, she can't really KO other Megas realistically.
Not reliably, anyway.
Yeah. But with a Muscle Band and some Chance and, you know, some of these partner Pokemon, you can really stack up the damage quickly.
Yes, you can. And with that fairy synergy that you have going on there, it sets up very, very, very quickly.
What she lacks in just raw power, though, she makes up in versatility. The colorless typing lets her run in literally any deck, which we have talked about. But most popularly right now is Aromatis and Fairy Garden. So that gets rid of the retreat cost and, like I said earlier, the Max Potion. Her standard EX form can also do, you know, 100 damage, which is very, very good. Honestly, I think this is my favorite EX and one of the most competitive EXs to date.
Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely a very powerful card. I mean, just attaching a single Muscle Band and getting 2 heads in a row, you've got the ability to knock out any EX Pokemon that has ever been.
I know. I do want to say that Mega Kangaskhan was the deck that got me my very first League Challenge win. First place with Mega Kangaskhan.
Very cool. Now, just a couple other little things to remember about these Mega Evolutions. The first part that you really need to keep in mind is that because you end your turn upon Mega Evolving, you really have to very carefully plan about what you're doing when you're using these Pokemon cards. You know, in an ideal world, you'll usually want your side of the field established before you Mega Evolve, just because a lot of these Pokemon require a lot of setup and a lot of support to be able to use them effectively. If nothing else, for just the EX, the Mega EX shielding your team and getting them set up in case it inevitably dies, or if the team needs to delay the opponent just long enough to set up the Mega. You'll most likely be using Pyroar or some other basic Pokemon that have Safeguard or abilities that prevent Pokemon from attacking and damaging them with while they have abilities, such as the Latias EX, to either stall for time or also have just big attackers, like notably the Shiftry, to really knock on an opponent's hard points before you get to that point of sending out your own Mega Evolution. For those of you who don't know what that Shiftry does, 20 damage times the number of benched Pokemon, both yours and your opponent's, is pretty disgustingly powerful.
That, yes, it's crazy, and people really load their benches these days, so you can be doing a serious amount of damage.
If you have a full bench yourself, that's a minimum of 100 damage done to the opponent. If the opponent also has a very full bench, then you're looking at anywhere from 120 to 200.
It's a pretty powerful Pokemon.
Yep.
And it's just a stage 2, so it's only giving up one prize if it dies. Plus, its ability is super good. Oh, good card.
It is a good card.
Another thing to remember is to use stadiums to your advantage. So, for an example, if you're using Mega Charizard X, play a Shadow Circle to remove your weakness. Or, you know, another example, if you're using Mega Charizard Y, maybe use Sky Arrow. You have no retreat.
Yeah. There's also the ever-popular combination of Fairy Garden, which is used in a tremendous amount of decks because it's just so very, very versatile.
Absolutely.
Another thing, too, is to be very patient when you're using these Mega Pokemon. These decks do tend to run a little slower, so there's no turn 2 9,000 damage being done.
What, 9,000?
That's over 9,000!
I just watched that episode last night.
Man, that was great. But, you know, just like the Tropical Beach before it, when your turn ends, sometimes it can really be to your detriment. So you just have to take a moment and step back and consider what you're doing before you place down that Mega Evolution card. And also, just sometimes you don't even need to use the Mega Evolution card. There have been some times where I've Ultra Balled away my Mega Evolutions because it was in a deck that I was fighting that just would not help me.
I've certainly done that as well.
Yep. Because, I mean, if you're fighting a deck that's a Buttermilk deck, there's no reason that you should be running a Mega Charizard in it. I mean, you're
that's
just...
so true.
If you're spending 300 damage to blow up Pokemon that have only one-third of that total amount, then you should be reevaluating what you're doing with a lot of these cards.
Very, very true. Another point to keep in mind is that you shouldn't be shy about healing. A good supporter is Pokemon Center Lady. I know that's hard to understand for some people. A lot of people give her gripes, but she's pretty good for a supporter since she can heal 60 damage and remove status. That can really save your Mega Pokemon.
Yep. Being able to, well, let's just use Mega Venusaur, for example, who I still think is probably one of the better Mega Pokemon that are out there right now. It uses 120, it does 120 damage and poisons and paralyzes you. If you drop a Pokemon Center Lady on your Pokemon the very next turn, you've reduced the amount of damage you've taken by very nearly half, and you've also removed the poison and paralysis.
Yes.
And if you're using Mega Venusaur, and I have used Mega Venusaur before, you kind of bank on them not being able to wake up and get moving the very next turn. I mean, you do not want them to be moving. You want them to be staying still and just sitting there and slowly dying from poison. But, Yeah, if you can instantly just turn things around with a Pokemon Center lady, that's tough for a Mega Venusaur to come back from.
Yes, and having just one Pokemon Center lady in your deck isn't bad, because you can have a Palpat in there, and I mean, Palpat is such a good card right now.
That's what I currently run in my Mega Charizard deck, is just one Pokemon Center lady, and then I Palpat it right back if I absolutely need it.
Very cool. Some other good recovery options include Super Potion and Max Potion. Works very well in Kangaskhan Aromatisse decks.
Yep. Depending on how the rotation goes, we may see Max Potion disappearing. But if you really want to keep that healing power going on, the Super Potion is a pretty good alternative. I mean, for one energy loss, you can heal another 60 off of your Pokemon. And to be honest, a lot of these Pokemon, the EXs now that would be attacking you, not the Mega ones, just the regular EXs, you know, the damage that they do isn't nearly as big as, say, Black Kyurem EX, where it does 200. You could pretty well recover yourself nicely from that.
Very true. Leaving your Mega out in front and just constantly healing it is a really good strategy. But eventually, it probably is going to go down.
Yep. Yes, it most certainly will. I mean, the Mega EXs are EXs too. People are going to want to target him for the extra prize and to get him out of the field, because nobody appreciates seeing a Mega Charizard or a Mega Blastoise getting powered up on the bench. So you got to really plan ahead with them. Be sure that if you're going to Mega Evolve them, they're going to be pulling their weight after they evolve. So if you can predict something like a Lysander coming out, or, you know, just a very dangerous card that'll turn it out of your favor, I guess, just be prepared for the loss. And, you know, it's kind of a tactical risk, but, you know, it's got really high payout in return.
I agree. Ending your turn to Mega Evolve takes some planning, and that's what we were talking about earlier with a safeguard Pokemon. I run a Sigilyph in my fairy deck, in my Kangaskhan deck, I should say. But even then, once your Pokemon does go down, you have to remember to keep playing the long game. That's a great piece of advice. Don't think that the game is over once you've Mega Evolved. You have to keep building your bench and planning for later.
Yeah. The people who think that the long game is over when you see a Mega Evolution are usually the ones where their game ends pretty quickly for them. And, you know, it's just like with the example of Mega Charizard, losing 5 energy in a single turn hurts a lot. And it really dramatically slows down your deck. And if you don't have a good plan for it in case that Mega Evolution would go down, or if you lost your ability to Mega Evolve, then you've really got to have a solid plan B to go with.
A lot of these EXs also come with drawbacks, so that's important to remember. So if you're needing to use Mega Charizard X or Y, you're likely not worried about losing cards or HP, and you're trading... Very often, you'll be trading 5 cards for 2 prizes, or losing 50 HP. You gotta remember that this gives you a heck of a lot of momentum. So, I mean, don't be afraid to lose that stuff. Losing 5 cards off the top of your deck for a 2 prize knockout is absolutely worth it, unless you only have 5 cards left. Or, well, 6. It's usually going to be worth it.
Oh, yeah. Those Mega Pokemon definitely swing momentum for you.
What kind of Pokemon are you? How do you do the things you do? Share with me your secrets deep inside. What kind of Pokemon are you? Are you loyal through and through? And do you have a heart that's true? What kind of Pokemon are you?
This week's Pokemon Spotlight covers number 302, Sableye.
Uh-huh.
Sableye is a bipedal Pokemon with a dark purple body.
Sableye has tall, spiky ears, spiked elbows, and also has sharp, spiky claws on his hands and feet. He's a spiky guy.
Yeah. It has blue gemstone eyes with a red gem in its chest and other gems in its back, which are appearing to be, anyway, a ruby, a sapphire, and an emerald. I don't know. I don't know what those would possibly be referencing, but, you know.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I never caught that before. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome.
There you go.
Sableye's gemstones in his body are thought to have appeared due to his diet of, you guessed it, Flintstones. I mean, gemstones.
Flintstones, yes! Sableye are said to be able to steal a person's souls if they look into its eyes. And it's kind of creepy. Like, if you see its eyes glimmering in the darkness, it supposedly just eats your soul for breakfast.
Yeah. Ooh.
He's an angry dude.
I think they would have to be relatively angry dudes, though, because I'm sure enterprising Team Rocket members will probably try to capture them for the jewels.
True story.
Sableye are typically found in caves and can see very well in the dark. They better be able to.
Yes.
It would be sort of like how Druddigon will stop and slow down and pretty much drop down from exhaustion, and if it doesn't have any sunlight, yet lives in caves.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. Lives in caves, has the brightest colored anything ever.
Yep.
Doesn't hide well.
You're doesn't weird, hide Dredigan. Well.
Dredigan's so weird. Hop. Back to Sableye. Sableye are known to be able to hit their targets through any kind of disturbance. They like to wait for their opponent to attack before they respond and have also been known to be able to cause status to their foes before allowing their opponent to move. This equates to its three abilities, Keen Eye, Stall, and Prankster.
And might I just note that Stall is the stupidest ability any Pokemon could ever have.
I don't see any use.
It's
what is
just
the one use? There has to be one use for it.
There's not. You always go last. How is that a good thing? It's like, oh, hey, Sableye's not that fast, and I don't want to run Prankster on him. Let's run him in Trick Room. Oh, nope, Stall makes me go last anyways.
Payback?
Wow. Yeah, but look at his attack stat. Well, we'll be talking about his attack stat in a second. So don't look at it yet. It's a surprise.
Sableye has appeared many times in the anime and manga, and had one notable appearance where he was in the most recent movie, Genesect and the Legend Awakened.
And in the video games, speaking of his attack stat, Sableye only has a base stat total of 380, which is pretty abysmal. And its highest stats are his attack and defense, which sit at a whopping 75.
Ooh.
So even Payback is not going to do that well.
Yeah.
Man.
But it's surprising because I run Sableye, and just because you don't need any kind of attack speed or anything on him, he is surprisingly bulky, even with that base 380.
That's true. Well, that comes with what that bulkiness is helped by is its very few weaknesses. Until 6th generation, he had no weaknesses, one of only two Pokemon. But now he has one, which is Fairy, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
And can still boast three immunities.
Which is awesome.
Yep.
Sableye are most commonly used for the ability Prankster, and the very good support moves that it has at its disposal.
Yeah, which... like I said before, helps with its bulk. When you have priority recover, you can absorb hits and then heal before they can do anything to you again. It's really, really nice. And being able to burn things with Will-O-Wisp before they can do anything is very amazing as well. Nice. And Sableye is the most recent Pokemon to be given a Mega Evolution. which gives him a higher special attack and defense stat, but also reduces his speed a little bit, too, from what we've been told.
All right. It kind of makes sense, though. I mean, if you're going to be pulling out a giant gem and sticking it down into the ground as your means of defense, I mean, yeah, that's a pretty potent defense, but you can't move around with that just hammered into the ground like that. I mean, you just can't do it.
Yeah, and it's as larger than he is, so.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Though upon Mega Evolving, as I said earlier, he pulls a red gem from his chest and uses it as a shield, which causes all status-based attacks to bounce back to the attacker. That ability he has will change to Magic Bounce when he Mega Evolves. Its use is a little limited in doubles, though, because the Magic Bounce ability will only work for Sableye. It won't protect your partner.
Yeah.
That's if true. It did, it would be so incredibly good.
Oh, I know. That would be amazing. Oh, can you imagine that? That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Sableye has been featured on 12 different cards, 4 of which are currently tournament legal, and 1 of which is broken.
Yep.
Which one's the broken one?
Junk Hunt.
Junk Hunt.
The Junk Hunt, yeah. Yeah, that one's actually the one that will for sure cycle.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that one was from Dark Explorers, so unless they want to keep Dark Explorers around for next year, we're not gonna see him anymore.
Yeah.
And
he had a great life, and there were a lot of annoying decks built with him in it.
Yep. And he was really good. The thing that surprised me the most was that there are 4 Sableye that are tournament legal cards. I don't think I've ever seen that many tournament legal cards of any single Pokemon in one of our spotlights before.
No, there haven't been. There are a ton of legal Sableye, and it's crazy because there are only 12 cards total. 1/3 of those have been printed within the past, 2 years?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's
pretty insane.
So, that is Sableye, and, you know, he's a fantastic Pokemon. Can't wait to see what he does when he Mega Evolves. That'll be interesting, for sure. And we will move on to question of the week.
And now it is time for, well, many people's favorite part of the show, the question of the week. And this week's question is going to be, if you have a full art card, or if you could, my bad, if you could have a full art card of any of the existing Mega Evolutions, which would it be?
Josh, what would you have?
I would want the Mega Kangaskhan, but I would just want it to be a picture of the baby.
I don't want
the mom on the card. I don't know why. I just love baby Kangaskhan. I think it's hilarious when it just jumps out and is just awesome and stuff. So, yeah, mom can be maybe like up in the top corner or something, like in the background while baby's just like rushing in, punching things.
Yeah, mom's in the back leaning against a wall on her iPhone.
Exactly. Perfect. Wow. That is my card.
I had not quite understood the question earlier, but now I've thought about it, and I would love a full art Mega Charizard X. How cool would that be? Just sick.
Super Dragon.
Oh, man.
It would be pretty amazing. I would personally go with a full art Mega Blastoise. And the reasoning behind that is because not the Mega Blastoise, but the Blastoise EX, the full art of that one, is by far my favorite one of all of the full art cards so far.
Yeah, it's a very pretty card. It's one of the few new full arts that I have, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a response for this question of the week, which again was, if you could have a full art card of any of the existing Mega Evolutions, which would it be? You can send the response to us in one of several ways, the first of which is to send it to us over on the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/theundergroundpodcast. You can send it to us in the form of a tweet at Radio Rotome. You could send it to us at our mailbag at theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com, or you could send it to us via the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums.
If you enjoyed today's broadcast, you can find back episodes of The Underground on iTunes or at our website, theundergroundpodcast.wordpress.com. Please subscribe to the show via iTunes Store or directly through the RSS feed on our website. If you like what you hear, leave us a review or rating on iTunes. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, send them with the nearest Delibird to our mailbag, which is the email, theundergroundmailbag@gmail.com.
We would also love to hear your bumpers. Just record an MP3 of yourself telling us that you dig the underground and send it in. We'll play it at the top of the next episode. Please join us, please join our discussions over on the D20 Radio Network forums at d20radio.com/forums. We're also on Twitter at Radio Rotome and on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/theundergroundpodcast.
Please join us again next week when we'll cover part 3 of our Mega Evolve series. So until next time, Pokefans, remember that our secret base is always open to you if you can find it.
The Underground Podcast is protected under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 unported license and is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. Pokemon is a registered trademark of Nintendo, Game Freak, 4Kids Entertainment, and Wizards of the Coast. Music used in the show comes courtesy of the OC Remix album, The Missing Note Tracks. These songs and thousands more can be found at www.ocremix.org. All original audio, textual, graphical, and video content associated with the Underground Podcast are the sole copyright intellectual property of Nateel Erickson and Samuel Ranke in affiliation with the D20 Radio Network.